So in our first half of our Growing in Christ sermon series, we learned all of these doctrinal truths of what God has done for us. So we learned that God predestined us, He redeemed us, and sealed us in Christ to the praise of His glory. We learned that God empowers us for life with Christ. We learned that He made us alive when we were spiritually dead in Christ. He adopted us, those of us who are outsiders, and brought us in and made us His children. So three full chapters of Ephesians focused on doctrinal truths of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And the question that comes from that is, well, what now? What do all of those things have to do with our everyday lives? And that's what Paul spends the rest of Ephesians on. Because those truths from Ephesians 1 through 3 have everything to do with our everyday lives. So we have practical instruction of, because of all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ, here is how you are to live. So turn with me to Ephesians 4. The sermon is titled, Our New Life in Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you have heard about Him and were taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we confess it as true, and we ask, God, that you work in our hearts and minds to believe, to understand, and to respond to the truth that we hear today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Three things I want us to see in this section on our new life in Christ. Our new life in Christ requires we stop living like unbelievers. Our new life in Christ requires we stop living like unbelievers. Stop living like the rest of the world who don't have this new life that God has given. Stop living like unbelievers. Verse 17 through 19, therefore, Again, we see that repeatedly throughout this kind of section, and that's pointing back again, because of all God has done, because He has made you His children, because He has redeemed you, because He has saved you, because He has forgiven you. Therefore, because all of that is true, then this is what you are to do. You should no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity, with a desire for more and more. So remember, the Ephesian church is a body of Gentile believers. We might use the word pagans. They were not Jewish believers who had come to put their faith in Jesus as their promised Messiah. These were Gentiles who had heard the good news about Jesus and had come to faith. And Paul tells them, don't live like the Gentiles. Don't live like you used to live. Don't live like the culture that you are surrounded by, that you are placed in. We are to live separate from them. And in verse 18 and 19, he talks about how Gentiles, the unbelievers, the lost, have a darkened understanding. They're excluded from God. And he talks about they have a hardened heart. They are in the dark with hardened hearts. But remember, Peter reminds us that we have been called out of the darkness and into God's glorious light. Gentiles are still in the darkness, so he's telling these Gentile believers, don't live like when you were in the darkness. Don't live the way you did before you were given new life in Christ. And verse 19 talks about how their hearts have become calloused. So you think about individuals who work hard with their hands and have calluses on their hands to protect their skin, but that skin is hard. It's lost sensation. And he's saying that's what the Gentiles have for their hearts. That's what unbelievers have for their hearts, is this calloused heart that is numb to sensations anymore. And what has been produced in them now is a desire for more and more sin. Like an insatiable desire to continue to pursue the things that God does not have for them. And God's word instructs His children, stop living like the unbelievers. Stop living like the rest of the world. You've been brought out of that. You've been redeemed and rescued from that kind of life through Jesus Christ. In Romans 6 through 8 has lots of parallel ideas to what we're kind of reading here in Ephesians. In Romans 6, verse 11, we read these words from Paul. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't live like you used to live before Christ came in and set you free from that. Don't live like the rest of the world. You should live as you are dead to those things and alive to God. Now for us, we're tempted to look like the rest of the world. We're tempted to live like the rest of the world, to act like the rest of the world in lots of ways. And we think, well, that's not that big of a deal. This is the way our culture is today. We're in a different time. We've moved on from these things. And if everybody else is doing it, why is it that big of a deal? Children youth, adults, we are all tempted to look like the rest of the world. Or we question instruction from God's Word and think, I don't know if that applies to us today. And we minimize it, think differently about it to make ourselves more comfortable, kind of continuing on in our former way of living. And yet we have been given new life in Jesus Christ. He's redeemed us from our former way of life. And so we must stop living like unbelievers. You know, one of the criticisms people make of the church, and in some ways it's a little bit unfair, but one of the criticisms people make of the church, make of Christians today, is I don't want to go to church because it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. And yet, when we live like the rest of the world, when we look like the rest of the world, when we live lives in opposition to the instruction that God's Word gives us, we're giving them proof. We're giving them evidence to point to say, see, that's why I don't want to be a part of a church. Church, we've been called to be holy. We've been set apart for God. So let us live distinct lives from the rest of the world. Let's stop living like unbelievers. Let's stop living like we used to live apart from Christ. The second thing that we have in this section on our new life in Christ is this. Our new life in Christ requires we start living like Jesus. Requires we start living like Jesus. So we're supposed to stop living like unbelievers or stop living like the culture that we're in of unbelievers. And we are also supposed to start living like Jesus. In verse 20 through 24, but that's not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and the purity of the truth. So we are called to not only stop living like unbelievers, but also start living like Jesus. Those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, Paul says, you've been taught the truth in Him. He actually uses the language. He uses a word there that isn't common to the language. He like made up a whole new kind of idea. He doesn't say in the Greek, you were taught about Jesus. He said, you learned Jesus, not you learned about Him. You learned Jesus. And in Christ, we have the truth. And that truth points us to the righteousness of God. It says you were taught by Him. So that could mean two things. One, through the instruction of the apostles, Christ is teaching them truth about Himself. But we also have the idea that in Jesus' life, how He lived, a life of perfection, a life of righteousness, a life of obedience to God, Jesus taught us, this is how you live as an obedient child to God the Father. He taught us. And since we have been made alive in Christ, that was from Ephesians 2, remember? You were dead, but God made you alive in Christ Jesus. And so since we have been made alive in Christ, we are to live like Jesus. Live out our lives like Christ lived. Well, how do we do that? Verse 22 through 24 points us to how we do that. And we've seen this language before. And if you're in Chris's class, Sunday school class, we're walking through Colossians, and there's lots of parallel passages. We've talked about this in class too. The language is the idea of we have to put off things and we have to put on things. So think of clothing. You have to take off clothing, put on clothing, and Paul applies that imagery to how you are to live. As a new follower in Jesus, living out your new life, you are to put off certain things and put on Christ and put on the things that Christ did. And so put off your former way of life. Put off that old self. And he says that was corrupted because of sin. You were corrupted. The word there is the word for like rotten and putrid. Your flesh in sin was corrupted and was leading you in opposition to God. So you've got to put that off and you've got to put on your new life. So he talks about you need to have a new mind. You need a complete transformation in how you think about things, and then you actively, you choose to put on the life that God has called us to. Put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness. If we are in Christ, we're to live our lives in the likeness of our Savior, in the likeness of our God, which is holy and righteous, set apart from this broken and sinful world. So we have to live like Jesus. And of course, we want to justify ourselves and say, well, how could we do that? I can't be like Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. I can't do that. And on our own, of course, we can't. But we've talked about this before. We aren't on our own. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, working in us. And so in Romans chapter 8, we read these words, verses 11 through 13. And if the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So Paul starts by reminding the Romans here of a really important truth for us to consider when we're thinking about battling sin, when we're thinking about living out the lives that we're called to live. He says, the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, living in you. And he says He will give you life to your mortal body. And he's not only talking about you will be resurrected. That's a part of it. We will have resurrection life after this one. But he's also talking about right now. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and Scripture teaches that He is living in us who have put our faith in Jesus, then we can battle sin right now. We can actually combat our former way of living and start living the lives that God has called us to. The Spirit of God empowers us. To use the imagery of that verse, verse 13, the Spirit is how we put to death the deeds of the body. It's not by trying harder. Now, we do have to commit to it. But if you just try harder to be a better person, it won't last. It is a work of God. And God has given us His Holy Spirit working in us to produce the kind of life that He's called us to. And that is a comfort. That's a comfort to us when we're thinking, I've been struggling with the same thing I've been struggling my whole life. I'm doing the same things I've always done. God has given you the power to keep fighting sin in your lives. And the Spirit of God will produce these things. In Galatians 5, verse 16, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. So it's a work of God and it is a work of man. God empowers us to do it, and then we commit, we put on this new life. We let the Spirit lead us step by step, day by day, and God will produce this new life. He's already given us the new life in Christ, and He will produce the deeds, the actions that He calls us to. Consider, so, you know, we're talking about a transformation, right? Complete transformation from a sinful way of life to a life of holiness and godliness and righteousness that honors our Savior and points people to God. And so if you consider the butterfly, right? Butterfly, before it goes into the cocoon, is a caterpillar. And it has to crawl. But there's a transformation that takes place. There's a whole new life on the other side of the cocoon. When the caterpillar comes out of the cocoon, he's a butterfly. And he's no longer resigned to crawling on the ground. He flies. It's a complete transformation to a whole new way of living. And for us in Christ Jesus, we have received that transformation. We've been given new life in Christ, and therefore we can live this new life that demonstrates the radical transformation that God has done in each and every one of us. So, church, let's start living like our Savior. Let's start living out righteous deeds, godly works. He lived them perfectly. Our Savior did. He lived them perfectly. And He called us to follow Him in that way of life. And so let's ask the Spirit of God, God, keep shaping me, keep producing in me, keep making me the man, keep making me the woman that You are calling me to be. Because I can't do it on my own. It's okay to admit that. That's why He's given us His Holy Spirit, is to produce these things in us. So let's live our lives like Jesus for His glory. And the last thing I want us to see in this section of Ephesians is our new life in Christ impacts every area of our lives. Our new life in Christ impacts every area of our lives. See, we're tempted to compartmentalize our faith. Right? Faith is something we do on Sundays. We put it on occasionally. But then we have like other compartments of living. We have our, you know, our family life, our work life. We've got all these different compartments. And faith or religion is a slice of our life. But the new life we've been given in Christ isn't to be just a slice of life, a portion of our life. It impacts every area of our lives. every area, our whole life needs to be impacted by Jesus. It's verse 25 through 32. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So we've got a list. Paul is giving us some, here's some examples. It's as if Paul says, so put off your old way of living and put on your new. And he anticipated we might say, well, but what does that look like, Paul? And Paul says, I'm glad you asked. Here you go. And he gives us a list of practical examples. This is what it looks like to put off the old way and put on the new life that's in Jesus Christ. So in verse 25, put off lying and put on telling the truth, speaking the truth. And he gives a qualifier of why that's important, because you are brothers and sisters in Christ. You are one body in Christ. So speak the truth to one another. Put off lying. Verse 26, 27. Put off sinful responses to anger. When we are angry, we're tempted to sin in our anger. And he says, put off sinful responses in anger. And instead of that, what you need to put on is dealing with your anger in an appropriate, God-honoring way. Dealing with it quickly, so that you don't have the temptation from the devil that will lead you into sin. Put off stealing in a place where the vast majority of the population would work day to day, where they would have to, it was day to day, there were day laborers, so they'd go out and find work for the day. And if you didn't find work for the day, there's the temptation of, like, I have to provide for myself, I have to provide for my family, and so there's a temptation to steal, to provide for yourself. Paul says, don't be a thief. Stop stealing, and instead work with your hands. Not only for your own benefit, but also for the benefit of others. Because there's other people that are going to be in need, and you can help meet those needs as you are working. Put off destructive language. In verse 29, put off destructive language. Put on language that builds others up. So instead of tearing your brother and sister down with your words, put on words that build them up. He says, if you live like your former selves, you're grieving the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that is in you and in all believers. If you're tearing other brothers and sisters down instead of building them up, you're grieving the Spirit of God. And then one more, put off. Put off hate, put off malice, put off all these anger issues towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, and instead put on kindness, put on compassion, put on forgiveness. Forgive just like you've been forgiven in Jesus Christ. And so Paul gives this list. Here's what that looks like. When I tell you to put off your former way of living and put on this new life in Christ, here's a whole bunch of practical ways that that plays out. How you think, how you speak, how you deal with your anger, how you handle those who have sinned against you. And the list, of course, could be endless. See, we can't look at this little list as a checklist. Like, well, I've got that. Most of the time I'm good with that one. Okay, I've done that. He's just giving some examples. But as we have seen, those examples address all different types of areas of our lives. Our new life in Christ should impact everything about how we live, how we spend our money. How we spend our money should be impacted because of our new life in Christ. What we put our hope in should be impacted by our new life in Christ. How you treat others, insiders and outsiders, unbelievers and believers, should be impacted. All of these things in every corner of our life should be impacted by Jesus. He died for this. And God has given us His Spirit to transform all of us, not just parts of us. He's given us His Spirit to transform all of us into the people that He has called us to be. Think about how Paul looks at his new life in Christ in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul doesn't think of his life as Jesus is something that he's just added to himself, giving him a boost. He thinks of his life as Paul is dead. And now, the life that I have left to live, it's a whole new life. And that life is like Jesus is living in me. Jesus is living through me for God's glory. So church, let's not compartmentalize our faith. Let's not fall into the temptation of like, I'll give Jesus all of these areas of my life, but I'm going to hold on to this one because it's dear to me. Let's give Jesus control of it all. And let's live our lives until He comes back or until we die. Let's live our lives to where it is truly as if Jesus is living in us and through us. God has done so many things to rescue us and redeem us through Jesus Christ, church. And He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And He deserves lives of obedience. So as we strive to live in response to all that He's done for us, all He is doing for us, all that He will do for us, let us put off the former way of life. Let's put off living like the rest of the world. No matter how tempting it is, no matter how shiny it looks, let's put off living like the rest of the world and let's put on new life in Jesus. Let's submit every area of our lives to Him. How we think, how we act, how we speak, how we treat one another. Let every corner of our hearts and our minds, our entire being be shaped by Jesus through His Spirit so that God continues to get the glory for what He's done for us. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the new life that we have. We know that we did not deserve it, and we will never make up for it. But we do to honor You with lives of obedience. We want to honor You with lives that are shaped by Your Spirit. into the image of Jesus for your glory, God. And so we ask that you continue to work in us. Thank you for your patience with us. Keep molding us into your people so that we can be used for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.